Welcome back to a new edition of Pod by the Bay, brought to you by the Bay Area Examiner and BayAreaExaminer.com. You can find some merch. We got it up on the screen if you're watching the YouTube version here. Find some merch. We got our Stay Paranoid shirt, basketball season, the Bay, a little take on a Golden State jersey from the past. We got coffee mugs, we got stickers, and you can find all the videos and links to our writing there as well. So for all things Bay Area Examiner, check out BayAreaExaminer.com. I am Seth Varnador. I am joined by Robert Stieg. Stieg, how are you doing on this lovely, lovely week?
It's good. It's a wet day today. Very wet. No, it's good. It's nice. I took like a little sabbatical there to kind of recoup and recharge after spending a lot of time and effort in Fort Worth. So it was nice to kind of not talk about sports for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then get right back into it.
Yeah.
Didn't miss anything, apparently.
No, it looked like you were going to. Last week, Nathan and I were on, and we spoke about Jose Fernandez possibly leaving for the Miami job. From what we heard and who we talked to, and we had some pretty good sources on that one, it seemed like there was definitely discussions. And we talked kind of about why he may want to leave, just because of how top-heavy women's college basketball can be, and being in those power conferences makes everything a little bit easier. You don't see mid-majors make deep runs in March Madness, yada, yada, yada. We even threw out some candidates. Well, guess what? He's not leaving. Apparently, he's saying he put out a statement, basically just doubling down. I don't know. Let me see if I can pull up a copy of that. But, Steve, were you surprised to see kind of that all come to fruition? Because it certainly felt like it was going to happen that he was leaving. Right.
Yeah. And it was strange how it was all going down too. Because for something like this, I feel like it would have absolutely just happened in the shadows. Like nothing would have leaked out from Miami's side of things, and certainly not from Jose's camp.
Well, that's what I was asking. I think I was asking Nathan last week, like, how often does women's college basketball news leak? Like, to me, that was a sign that maybe it's further down the road than we think, but because you don't see it. It's not like men's college basketball or you get like Trilly Donovan and these kind of guys, right? Like breaking stuff or football where you're tracking planes all the time. These hires seem to happen kind of below the radar. So I thought hearing about it, maybe that means something, but.
Yeah, and that's when I like the longer the days passed, the less likely I felt like it was going to happen. Like that day where it was announced, I was like, yeah, he's gone. Like something like that kind of pushes out, paperwork's already getting filed. But then I reread it, and it was exactly what it was, which was that they talked.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to talk. I don't know what you guys talked about and what we can and can't talk about, but knowing that they talked,
yeah, I think
isn't
we can
necessarily
say
a bad thing.
I think we can say pretty commonly that there were conversations,
right? And so, and that's fine. I mean, honestly, honest to God, you'd be shocked at how often it happens.
Yeah, and
most times it's not news. Like every off season in most sports, like the coach talks to their agent. And their agent says, "Hey, such and such reached out to me and said, they want to see what your number is." It's just like a recruiter for like any job. Like you have a guy that vets the options and vets the possibilities and everything like that, and brings it forward to you and says, "Hey, what do you think?" And you say, "I'll take this or I'll take that." And ultimately, it's up to whomever is being poached or being approached. So
I've heard stories from, agents and things like that, you'll get like stuff from athletic directors or owners and things like that before they've even fired the guy. They'll still reach out and start talking to you about a position before it's even open. So, you know, discussions happen all the time. So you can't be too, there's nothing to be alarmed. Those things happen, like you said. I thought the interesting thing was, and I'll throw up, here's what Jose had to say, and is seemingly, the first, you know, this is one of those that had me in the first half. I'm not going to lie. Like the first half of this first paragraph, I was like, oh, or this first sentence here, I was like, oh, okay. The University of South Florida has been my home for the last 24 years. I was like, oh, okay, he's out. And there is no place I'd rather be.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm so proud to be the head women's basketball coach of this tremendous academic institution. With our outstanding leadership, we are in a position to accomplish even greater successes in year to come. So,
yeah, when I saw the word "has," I was like, "Fuck!"
Yeah, so I was like, "Oh wow, it's official."
Threw my phone across the gym. I was like, "Damn it!" That last paragraph is interesting. I'm gonna let that stew. We'll let that stew for a moment. But Jose Fernandez back online, back in Clutch, which was funny because I saw the breadcrumbs that they were about to get a transfer. And then this news dropped. And I was like, that's really shitty timing if that's happening. And, I figured, if he goes to Miami, he's bringing Vicky, he's bringing Rami, he's basically bringing the house. He's gonna, get Mama Dembele over to Miami as well, and just flip that. So I just figured we'd have to clean house and start over from scratch. I figured no one would stay, but
yeah, and that's,
we don't have to worry about that.
And that's the kind of the other part of it that we didn't really talk about, I don't think, last week. But I mean, we saw it with Coach Amir coming from Kennesaw State. Now in the transfer portal, you will get players following their coaches. So if Jose were to have left, I think it's a distinct possibility that he could have taken people with him, or really that players would have followed him, not them. He would be taking them, but players could have followed him, and that could include recruits as well. So glad you don't have to deal with that, and don't have to deal with the kind of the maybe losing people that you hadn't planned on losing to the transfer portal. There have been a couple of additions via the transfer portal thus far. I don't think we've talked about them. Steve, could you kind of talk about both of them? I think there's been two so far.
Yes. I don't know if you guys talked about departures.
We've not talked departures.
Okay. So get everyone up to speed. Marina Asensio, Daniela Gonzalez, Emma Johansson, Judith Oliva Fernandez, and Judith Valero Rodriguez all entered the transfer portal, all entered the transfer portal like a couple weeks ago. Maman Dembele is the first transfer from Missouri. She was all SEC defense. She is coming over as a grad transfer, which kind of, if you look at the starting five from last year, or the typical starting five, which was Vicky, Ev, Rami Levy, Ariel Wilson, and some combination of Jeanette and Sammy or whomever it was. Mama Dembele is coming in as the Ariel Wilson replacement. If you're going to put apples to oranges, really stout defense, brings the ball up the court, makes things happen. On the plus side, she scores. So that's always positive to have your point guard and distributor score.
10.2 points a game and 6.5 assists per game, which was sixth in the country.
Yes. And she was very highly sought after, too. She was rated in I think she was number 7 on the women's basketball transfer portal of all players. So very highly sought after. I made a mention to our Discord folks that there were a lot of power teams that wanted her. But Jose Fernandez's, ability to dip into the international pool really played that well, and the resources that they have available to her. So Great things there. Again, coming as a grad transfer. And then the other one that was announced on Monday was, and I'm going to butcher her first name, I believe it's Ines Piper, a transfer from Temple. So once again, USF stealing a strong, good player from a fellow conference mate, which again, can always be a good thing. She's originally from Paris, France, played a couple of years in JUCO, gave USF fits this year, let me tell you. In those two games, she was a problem. And if you're going to put, again, a comparison on where she would be at in the starting side of things, she kind of replaces Ev as far as being that power forward, the rebounder. Her big strong suit and the reason why she gave USF so much fits at Temple was because she was so good at offensive rebounds. And that's something that USF really didn't do well in this year. So Jose Fernandez said, hey, we can't rebound well. We're going to get the girl that literally killed us at offensive rebounding and boxed us out the entire night. So two great things there. But I'm sure they're not done. I'm sure they're going to grab some younger girls here to come over.
So far, it's been like that episode of The Office where Michael Scott is dating Pam's mom. And she tells him to stop dating my mom. And he says, I'm going to start dating her even harder. Mm-hmm. That's Jose. Everyone says, stop recruiting Europeans. And he said, I'm going to recruit him even harder.
Yeah, he's very close to getting the entire like NATO alliance under his belt.
Yeah. Spain and France added a couple more, but seem to be plus additions in terms of who they're replacing, or at worst, can keep kind of the level of play. But it seems like an upgrade in a couple spots. So that's good. Speaking of transfer portal and basketball, that's kind of where we're sitting with men's basketball right now. You've had a few guys enter, but nobody really that played a ton of minutes last year. So you're kind of just waiting this thing out because you have a few guys that I think would be hot commodities if they did enter. So we're kind of in a wait and see mode, and I'd imagine they're going to be active as well, bringing guys in through the portal. So there's some names they've already kind of been looking at. I know you've been on that pretty good. Are you expecting, first of all, who's jumped in the portal from basketball, and who, you know, what are you kind of hearing? Is that kind of done, the exodus, or?
I thought. as of today, what is it, April 3rd at 9:15 p.m. at night, I'm going to timestamp myself just in case. Right now, Sam Hines, Daniel Ogunlay, and Gerald Jones, III. Sorry. They are the three portal entrants for USF at this current moment. I say at this current moment because things can change. I thought, and based off of Coach Amir's comments, that he was going to spend last week doing interviews with these players to discuss their futures. The key thing there is, you know, doing the due diligence and looking out for the players, right? You know, hey, what are your plans for next year? Conversations. Do you have aspirations? Or, you know, are we good to part ways? And that's where I figured the first week was going to be, was we're going to go with the guys who we're going to have to do paperwork for and do the admin stuff and put them in the transfer portal. So I figured that's what last week was, and that this week was going to be, okay, let's talk about these guys' futures here that either can go pro here, that might have to dip into NBA draft waters, which is a real possibility for a lot of the guys, or for Chris Youngblood, maybe a Celton Miguel. There's no harm in testing the NBA waters, to make this abundantly clear. If we get an announcement from Chris Youngblood or Celton or Kaysen or one of those guys that says, I am testing NBA draft waters, that just means they're going to talk to a couple NBA scouts, do a couple workouts, and most likely come back. So getting ahead of this now, as I can be. So I'm expecting that to be this week, where it's, let's talk to the guys who could leave for professional routes. And then next week is going to be your conversations with like the Jaden Reeds and the Daniel Toby Lobas and the younger guys, where you say, okay, what do we need to do to take you to the next level? So that's where we're currently at. And it's slow. It is painfully slow for having only like 13 guys on scholarship. I thought that this would be like day one, day two, day three. All right, let's hit the portal. Now it's like, let's take our time on it. And for good reason, because you don't want to blow your load too early on any available scholarships on any guys. You also don't want to wait too late. So you might as well just figure out who you have, figure out who you're going to have going forward, and try to build and rebuild around them. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. If you had to guess, how many of those three names, the Miguel Youngblood, oh my gosh,
Case Pryor.
Yeah. His name just left my mind.
Lord.
I just started thinking about a roller coaster. How many of those three do you think, what's the over under? If I say 1.5 come back, are you going over or under?
I'm going over. I think two of the three will come back.
Okay.
As of right now, as of gut feeling and as of conversations that I've had, I think it'll be two of three. I wouldn't be shocked if it's one of three. And then I also wouldn't be shocked if it's none of three. My gut feeling is two. My reality lens is coming in and saying it's one of them is coming back. And then, you know, I'll go worst case scenario. They're going to quote unquote rebuild. They already have really good pieces available for them right now. So that's basically what we're hanging on to this week is April 10th, you know, April 10th, we'll be able to say, okay, this is how we're going to rebuild and reload for next season. But the next 7 days, everything's going to be up in the air.
Yeah. The one guy I think, so we've talked in the past about like Selton Miguel, maybe, you know, if he wanted to try to turn pro coming off this, because his shooting splits were insane last year, and maybe that's his new norm, but maybe it was an aberration and you go get paid off your best year is the thought, even if it's in Europe or somewhere else. And because he has a foreign passport, right? So he could, mm-hmm. he could play in Europe without counting as a US player, which is a big deal. Right. So that wouldn't shock me. And then, you know, I think if he decided to hit the market, Youngblood would be a hot commodity. If he's really 6'4", he's listed at 6'4", 218. 6'4 guard, it's kind of rugged and shoots over 40% from three. Would have some suitors. And he is from, do you know where he's from?
He's from Alabama.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah.
So I think obviously he'd be, if you could only keep one, he'd be my pick. But yeah, we'll see. He's obviously close to Coach Amir. You hope that kind of works in his favor. But, you know, he had an interesting, I believe just before we came on, he had an interesting Instagram post, I believe, right?
Yes. Which
I think you could read it both. This is kind of like a Rorschach test.
Right.
How do you want to read the message? So he got a picture of him at the foul line against VCU, and he says, "Made history, made lifelong relationships, made unforgettable memories." He has a few pictures. That's the first one. Right. "Forever grateful." So that could mean he's gone. That could mean he's just looking inward and being introspective, and he is grateful.
He posts very seldom. He doesn't post a lot. And when he posts, it's, to me, reads as someone who's looking inward and reflecting rather than, you know, telling us what he's doing. But also, you know, I'm going to wait for the school to make any sort of announcement. If a guy is to leave, I expect it to be a, like I mentioned in our Discord, you know, a picture of him taking a jump shot, you know, him on this side, and then a wall of text right here that starts with like, Bulls Nation, I'm forever grateful for blah, 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 blah. With that being said, I'm doing yada, yada, yada. So until I see that, I'm reading into absolutely nothing, because boy, howdy, I have learned my lesson from guys like Johnny Ford.
Well, let me see what he wrote when he, at the end of his time.
Yeah. Same thing. He wrote the same thing, actually. Funny enough.
He wrote, last thing he said, I think it's life lately with a ring at Kennesaw. And the next one was horns up with the USF trading card is the next thing I see. So, he's not a rampant poster.
No.
So it'll be, he did have friends come and go. Banner saying forever was a Kennesaw State, was a post after he left Kennesaw State, but he's back there for maybe something. But that'll be one to watch. So that'll have everyone's butthole puckered for the next week. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure everybody's really excited about having to wait that one out. And always the generic social media posts, always good to send fan bases into a tailspin. So
we love doing it.
It's like catnip.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
They got a bump at this point. It's just like, yes, give me more. Post something.
Speaking of wanting more, we haven't heard a ton about USF football so far this spring. They've been keeping it pretty tight-lipped. We've seen a few things. We haven't been. I don't think there's been any open media sessions thus far. Steve, have you heard anything? I talked to a coach that went to the scrimmage in this past week, and he was just shocked at how fast everything was, and how, to me, like what his comments to me kind of, first of all, he said most plays were being snapped like within 10 seconds. So it was very fast. And he said it was just the tempo was really high. They didn't have to stop and coach a lot. It was just high tempo, just go, go, go. To me, that says there's an increased comfort level if you can do that, where we can go really fast and we don't have to stop and teach and coach. These guys kind of know what they're supposed to be doing. We can grab guys inside, have smaller conversation, but keep the tempo high. And that seems to be kind of what his impression was of the practice. So I think you're seeing kind of that familiarity with the program. Second spring under Alex Golish. Stuff's not as new anymore. Everyone's a little more comfortable, and that allows them to go a little bit faster even than last year, which, I mean, we saw they can get it rolling. So
yeah, that's, I mean, listen, we're trying our damnedest to get information from them. No media availabilities during spring at all. Like, and if there is, it's the pressers where he really doesn't say much. A lot of, I mean, 98% of Golish's spring pressers so far have been him just saying like normal coach speak about a certain player that is also going to be speaking to the media shortly thereafter. So we're not getting much out of there. Asking around, not getting much on how the practices are going. The best that I got, because they just had a scrimmage this past week, which again closed, no media availability for it, was good. We have things to work on. So I know it's frustrating for you all as listeners in the Discord and everything like that, that, you know, we're more than halfway through spring practice. And the only thing that we have heard at all is through Joey Johnston's little stories and everything like that, and piecing together clips from, you know, the media clips that they're giving, which By the way, they're giving even less on those media clips than you ever thought. Like, absolutely none of the plays
I've been doing, showing. You know, I've been doing some sleuthing. I think RJ Perry may be your starting left tackle. I don't know if that's right. I think that's one thing we could sleuth. And then I think there may be a rotation happening at left guard.
Yeah.
But it's a couple bodies there, but I think I'm guessing. So that'd be one little piece. Maybe I think the line's probably from left to right. RJ Perry, Cole Skinner, Mike Lofton, Herring, Bowman.
Yeah. It sounds right, but also they're probably, you know,
they could be. I've seen Deontay Bowie at left guard as well in one clip with a starting group.
And I know Junior
Zeebo is mentioned. Yeah. And then you've got that, the transfer from Vanderbilt, who I'm sure is getting some runs. So yeah, get up to speed, buddy. So yeah, it's, I would say frustrating. It's just how it is. So, spring games coming up soon. I think it's a week from Saturday, right? The 13th.
Yeah, it's the 13th.
So
it's coming up quick.
I'm sure it'll be packed out again. It was a pretty fun environment last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you ended up getting where people were watching in the baseball stadium. It was packed. So
yeah, it's the unfortunate part about the Corbett Stadium is that it only holds about 3,000, and there's a lot of demand for people to see. Which,
listen, years ago, that would have been plenty of room,
right? Yeah, I mean, there were times that it was just like, please show up. Now people are like, please let me in. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. And we'll level set with everyone. They're not going to show anything. They're not going to do anything special. They're going to run Byron Brown out there for like a drive.
I think the fun thing is, but to me, the fun thing will be seeing they do have some young guys that we heard good stuff about in like camp. They got injured. That will be fun to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those guys will get a little bit more run. So that part of it is all, to me, those are the fun parts of spring games when you got young guys that you haven't seen yet that haven't mm-hmm. played. But yeah, you're not going to see a lot of the starters probably aren't going to be playing a ton or long minutes or they're not going to show any of the fancy new stuff they've been working on. It's going to be pretty.
It's going to be butter, as vanilla as they can get it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even televising it.
Which maybe could lead to a little bit more stuff, but seeing how because first string quarterbacks established, and we felt like even last year there's a pretty established hierarchy, but now you've got Bryce Arch and Izzy Carter. That's a good little battle there for who's going to be the second string quarterback to me. So I think Archie's really steady, but Carter's obviously got that upside. So that'll be fun to see those guys if. Like you said, Byron plays a few series and then is out, and those guys get to battle it out a little bit. That'll be fun to watch. So
yeah,
well, hopefully they can be a little bit more healthy. Last spring, I mean, it was like Kelly Joyner had to bump out, and they've talked about this, Golshaz, in his press conferences. You know, Kelly Joyner had to bump out a receiver just so they could, you know, practice because they didn't have enough guys, and Naeem Simmons. It kind of they were so injured in spring that it kind of threw off their fall plans too. Because Kelly Joyner ended up staying out of the slot a little bit. Naeem Simmons ended up staying outside because Sean Atkins was hurt for a whole spring. So you didn't quite know. I don't think they were for sure what they had in him totally because he was hurt. And Simmons were going to be a slot. Well, they had to move Joyner out and they needed somebody outside because those guys were hurt. I mean, you had guys get hurt in the spring game last year. I think Yusuf Terry got hurt in the spring game last year. So, it kind of it lingered a little bit into the season last year, but it seems like they're a lot healthier this year. We haven't heard anybody being hurt. Like I said, they're being pretty tight-lipped, but you're seeing a lot of guys, you know, in the little clips you do see, guys that played last year are healthy and still going at it. You're hearing good stuff. And last year, like the receiver group will be a lot of fun to watch to me. So
yeah,
there will be some fun things to watch in the spring game, but you're not going to see it. Ton of crazy stuff.
Nah, it to me the more interesting thing will be seeing how like guys like Deshaun Rucker, you know how the defensive back transfers do and line up, and you know the again there isn't much. They're not going to do much. They're not going to, you know, like, it'll be just vanilla across the entire way. The alumni flag football game should be fun. They're doing that again. So BJ Daniels is out recruiting for that. And yeah, I mean, that's the main objective, is just no one gets hurt. Fans are excited for the season, clearly, with how much these tickets are in demand. And, you know, that everyone's been kind of saying, it's like, you know, get there early, because they will turn you away once they've reached capacity, and there's nothing they can do about it. Like legally speaking, if you're not one of the first 3,000 people in there, that sucks. Even though Corbett is roomy and it's outdoor and there's plenty of berm seating and everything like that, they reach that capacity there. That's it. So, yeah, and I'd imagine we won't really see much other than that. I'm keeping my eyes peeled on, like, you know, they're adding more assistance to, like, their wheelhouse. Like, there's a few new guys that have been hired on the staff. So it's just been pretty normal spring things, though. And then, you know, once spring is over, or once literally the spring game is over, we'll see guys enter the portal. We'll wish them luck and they'll go do their thing. And then laser focus on a fall camp.
Yeah. Last year you saw the group of receivers in the alumni game may have been better than the group that was playing.
Honestly,
last year you were down to a lot of walk-ons and younger guys playing. So I think they're in a much better place. That's kind of the exciting part. They're in a much better place this year at this time than they were last year, not just in terms of health, but also, as we mentioned earlier, the kind of being more comfortable. So
right, and the morale is high too. That's the thing that I'm noting more than anything, is like last year it was a lot of nerves on, like, oh god, is this gonna work? This year it's like, you know,
it works,
like, let's just make sure we're good, kind of thing.
So just keep working your process, Steve. If your process is perfect and you keep working it, you'll be good. All right, so let's finish up looking at some other sports out here in the spring. Basketball winding down, portaling. Spring football getting ready to wind down. Ooh, was that a little lightning in the background?
That was a big little lightning there. A
little fireworks show, just like in the spring. I don't know if we'll be doing the fireworks show after the spring game this year, but where do you want to go in the spring sports? What's kind of the big update? I know baseball lost to Stetson this week. And midweek baseball is so bizarre.
Midweek baseball doesn't fucking count. Like, let's be honest.
Why do they play? It's very strange to me. Like, you'll see some teams that are like top 25 or, you know, top 20 teams just consistently lose midweek games and then play really well on the weekend and they just stay top 20. It's bizarre.
There's no reason to be upset or get too excited about midweek baseball. Because it's shit. Like, it's not good. Like, you're not pitching your aces. Usually you're letting young guys get some run and get some hits. So it's midweek baseball. Stetson's not bad. USF probably should win a game like that, especially when they're up 7-0 in the third inning.
I think it was Derek Sharp was saying it, like, the game was kind of on the brink of Stetson maybe shutting it down, starting to throw some younger guys and just save arms. Mm-hmm. And then USF kind of let them back in the game and then it got blown open.
Yeah. I didn't watch and I didn't pay attention because of other obligations, but I from what I noted, it was like 7-0 after the third, and then a lengthy delay happened. And then Stetson started to get some runs back here and there. And then I think USF, when Stetson took the lead, kind of just like, all right, you know, we're going to save the arms. We're going to save grace. The bullpen this year for USF isn't great, which is unfortunate. You know, they put a lot of stock into trying to retool that bullpen as much as possible with guys coming back from injury, with transfers, with yada, yada, yada. And for the most part, some of these transfers haven't exactly played out and played to their best of their abilities. You know, they're not a ship out of port. They're 3-3 in conference right now, facing two of you know, the some of the better teams that have been playing in non-conference. You know, Charlotte played pretty well for the most part. You know, baseball's baseball. Having a doubleheader on a Thursday probably isn't your, or excuse me, on a Friday isn't your ideal way of getting that kicked off, and then, you know, blowing a save opportunity in the late part of the rubber match, not ideal either, but again, nothing outstanding. They have Wichita State coming into town. They are currently first place in the American. We'll see how this series goes. It, again, too early to make any calls. I know a lot of fans are getting restless about some inabilities, but at the end of the day, if they make it to Clearwater, which is probably going to happen, they'll be fine. They have enough arm talent. They have enough bat talent. They're one of the better hitting teams in the conference. It's just the bullpen's not keeping up with them right now.
No. And I do kind of, when it comes to baseball, I'm not a big, I don't know, you know, like hit the ball better. I'm, you know, I don't know how to like the intricacies of baseball, pitch better, hit it better. Right. But I do feel like teams in Florida should be pretty good at baseball. So
yeah,
I do understand some of the frustration.
Right. And playing up against other teams in the state of Florida this year, USF is like, I think they're 6-5. Because they beat UNF, they beat JU, they beat UCF. They should have beat UCF twice. Lost to UCF, lost to Florida State, lost to Stetson. So they're having around that 500 mark. I mean, all the teams in the state of Florida are competitive. That's the thing to remember here, is that like none of them are bad. They're all local Florida kids that are pretty good. It's, you know, they took two out of three from Memphis. You know, they have an opportunity to, you know, right the ship again this weekend with an out-of-state opponent. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And so that's baseball. Anything going on with softball, Steve? Anything of note? And then we'll kind of wrap up after that with.
Yeah. Softball had a weird weekend. They took game one against North Texas, a really good North Texas team. And then North Texas decided to pitch their ace on Saturday, my days are mixed up. Game one was on Thursday. Game two was on Friday. Decided to pitch their ace on Friday. USF didn't. Peyton Dixon. And then UNT decided to pitch their ace again on Saturday. So this girl, Mackenzie Childers, had 228 pitches across less than 24 hours and blanked USF for just one of the better pitching performances that I've seen. And obviously got to watch Sarah Nevins, got to watch Georgina Corr, got to watch some of the best pitchers from USF. Nothing to be concerned about or anything at this point in the juncture. Pitching is fine, hitting is fine, defense is outstanding. You know, they'll win their games when they need to win their games. You know, nothing to be concerned about at this point.
Yep. And so let's wrap up with anybody else, any other teams kind of standing out? I know track has been kind of coming to the surface a lot. As the cream rises to the top, seem to hear a lot about track every week.
Yeah. They're number 15 in the nation for the men's side of things. As we start the outdoor part of the season, some of the best. I mean, they're extremely well rounded from top to bottom. The unfortunate thing is, if Romaine Beckford was still in green and gold instead of transferring to Arkansas, they're probably number one in the country right now. That's the high jump is really only their weakest link at this point. But the 4x100, the 4x400, pole vault, long jump, triple jump. They're doing well in basically every event, which is outstanding. And when I say doing well, I mean like they are winning most of these events against really good teams.
And you did you? What was the number of records that they've said? I think you had it all kind of offhand.
I joked and said 55, but I don't think I'm very far off.
That could be. I mean, that could be correct. Like for all I know, it seems like every week you're seeing new record.
Yeah, it's funny if you I think if you legitimately looked in the top 10 right now for every single men's event, and I'll include some of the women too, it's probably like this year's teams are like, there's like 50 of them. And they're consistently, if they're not beating their previous mark, you know, they're getting number two, they're getting number three right. in the USF top 10. The women's side, their 4x100 and 4x400 is doing outstanding as well. You know, they're recruiting out of their minds. Eric Jenkins like has this program doing so well right now. It is absolutely ridiculous. Like they will have multiple All-Americans this year in track.
Yeah. And that's kind of the one, right? If you're, if like it's the same kind of gripe, I think you'd have previously as with baseball, you're like, if you're in Florida, you should be pretty decent at track. And it seems like he's quickly gotten them to well above decent. So
yeah,
I think that's probably, you know, when people see stuff like that, it probably makes him long in other sports because of how great he's, how great of a job he's doing in turning this thing into, I mean, you're consistently top 15. It's a pretty premier program. So
right.
if he can keep that up, that's pretty good. So,
and all it took was that little bit of patience. The first like year and a half under him was quite rough because he also coaches cross country, and cross country just that's we're at 41 minutes. I'm going to need another 43 minutes to talk about cross country.
I don't know. Those sports, I have no clue how you coach. I know there's all kinds of techniques and things like that, but man, it's just like the bowling coach throw strikes this time.
It's more math than you'd ever really? Think.
That's
like, it's a, like that's the big thing about like the running sports and everything like that is like, all right, like statistically, is it better for my guy to be in lane four in heat one, or is it better for them to be in heat two, save those legs a little bit, but maybe not be at a favorable lane? There's a math thing.
There's a lot of interesting game theory there that I think the lay people don't know. They should run faster.
Jump higher.
Yeah, jump a little higher. Come on. So, all right, that's it for this week's edition of Pod by the Bay. We'll probably be back later in this week with a Ponderosa on the Bay Area Examiner Patreon. If you want that and access to, you know, who USF has reached out to in the portal in basketball, Steve's got that in the Ponderosa section of the Discord. You can get that for $5 a month on the Bay Area Examiner Patreon. $10 a month, you get that extra podcast weekly, typically, and access to the Discord as well. So join up there, get some extra goodies, and get the inside info. As much as we're allowed to share, we share. Because sometimes we get some stuff and we're asked, can you hold that for a little bit? But if we're allowed to share it, we share it. And Stieg has done a really good job kind of keeping people abreast of what the men's basketball team is looking for in the transfer portal and kind of what he's hearing on that end. So if you want that info, jump in the Discord.
Hell yeah.
And with all that being said, Steve, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.